You are listening to another edition of the Two Daft Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Daft Yanks studios. Greetings to you wherever you may be. And let me bring in my co-host from the Bayou Two Daft Yanks studios, Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Man, you know, since you said Bayou, I'm going to have to invoke a little Cajun accent for a little bit. Of course, all my real Cajun friends probably, what's he doing, man? He's not even a real Cajun, or he's only like half Cajun, bro. But anyway, it's three weeks in a row. I think this is officially now a streak.
Yes, we're going streaking.
Yeah, well, no, wait.
Barrel style. Old school.
Yeah, I'm nope. I'm pretty sure that's like sexual assault these days.
Okay, it is, yeah. It would be.
Yeah, it's like visual sexual assault or something.
I like that. Visual. Yeah. Psychological sexual assault.
Yeah, there you go, lawyers. Law idea, cut me in for 10%.
Yeah, psychological sexual assault.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Okay, I think that's the first sexual assault reference on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, coming out, getting stuck in from the first whistle.
All right, so we'll stop that. So we're here to say hello, but our three topics today are three people saying goodbye. So this is the goodbye show. I don't know, the Alf Wiedersen show, the au revoir show. I don't know. Go on. Give me some more.
Sayonara, adios, hasta luego, bon voyage.
There we go. Good enough.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sure we missed some.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We can't hit every language.
No, because I only know the romance ones.
Okay, there we go. So, alrighty, so we're going to say goodbye to some people, and the big news of the day in the Premier League is the one sacking of Slaven Bilic at the London Stadium, home of the bubble blowers of West Ham United.
Yeah, West Ham, which is actually in East London, so which is always a little bit confusing for me. But yeah, I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised he lasted this long. I thought he was going to get the sack back in September, the way things were going. It's because he kind of seemed like he was already had lost the squad then. And then when he had a couple of good games, which, you know, sometimes kind of buys people time. But I was kind of surprised they didn't get rid of him then. So, yeah, I mean, I guess my point is it was only a matter of time that the next downturn that they were – the Golds were probably going to get rid of him.
Yes, so he becomes the fourth manager this season in the Premier League to get the sack behind Frank de Boer, who was the first at Crystal Palace. Second up, we had Craig Shakespeare at Leicester City. And then the most recent would be Ronald Koeman at the Everton, who is still managerless. They still have a caretaker, but they are planning on appointing a manager during this current international break.
Yeah, and I was sad to see Koeman go because of the Dutch managers that have managed in the Premier League. He was the one who was most likely to slip up and actually fall into the stereotypical Dutch accent and say Faja.
Well, we did have LVG for a while.
But Koeman was definitely the one, the way he spoke, that was most likely to actually say Faja.
Okay. So, Slaven Bilic. Now, I'm surprised, too, that he lasted this long. You made that point, too. How much of a fact do you think that he actually played for the club bought him some extra time?
Oh, that probably definitely had something to do with it. Yeah, because kind of like what we were talking about earlier today, like I told you, that's probably what's kind of saving Zidane at Real a bit. Now, granted, that's a much different situation because we're talking about, you know, one of the best midfielders ever. But yeah, I mean, to your point, I think that had a lot to do with maybe saving him the first time.
Yeah, and he wasn't there that long. Just looking at his playing record here, he made a transfer in January of 96 to West Ham, and then moved to Everton a year and a half later in the summer window. So he played a year and a half at West Ham. And so that probably bought him a little bit more time because he was kind of I don't know if he was quite a cult favorite of the fan base, but he was well-liked. As a player.
Yeah, you could probably make the case he was a cult hero because, yeah, he was one of those no-nonsense defenders that, you know, kind of like a Skrtel with a little more of an attitude.
Skrtel with hair.
That too. Yeah.
Okay. So now when this came about, I just wanted to look at more of the history of West Ham, and it's pretty interesting to me. Managerial wise, for a club that was founded, and let me see. Let's get the exact date here. I didn't look it up because I'm
1884, I'm guessing.
1895.
Oh.
Okay, so for a club founded in 1895, this blows my mind. They've only had 15 managers in their history. 15.
Yeah, well.
Did you know that? That's a low number.
I did not, but like another thing we were talking off air, that's England used to be pretty stable when it came to managers, and that's something that the money that's flocking into the Premier League in the last few years is obviously changing. But yeah, that's one of the reasons, you know, Arsenal has stuck with Wenger for so long. It's actually fairly traditional to stick with a manager, which obviously, you know, Wenger's going to be the last of the long-term managers, and, you know, England will be like most of the other leagues that you'll be lucky is the wrong word, but it'll be abnormal for anybody to stay longer than 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So now that I'm looking more into the details, this is why they've only had 15 managers in their long history, which is what, about 122 years? This is crazy. So they had a manager who lasted from 1901 to 1932 by the name of Sid King. Lasted 31 years as manager. And then his successor was a guy named Charlie Painter, who lasted from 1932 to 1950. That's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, pre-70s in most sports, head coach was a job like any other. You came in and you did it, and you know, you taught basically. And the only time you ever really got fired is when you were really, really bad. But most of the time, you know, as long as the house wasn't burning down, you pretty much kept your job. I mean, that's the same thing like in college sports. When you look at some of the turn of the last century, you know, most of the coaches were from 1890 to 1920. Now, granted, a lot of those because they literally started the program. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that used to be fairly normal in most sports.
True. All right.
Pre-World War II, obviously.
Okay. Here's a trivia here for anyone play along at home. We'll see if Corey knows. We'll probably stump him. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he'll surprise me. I guess looking at the history of West Ham managers, who do you think has the highest winning percentage for somebody who's managed, you know, a fair amount of games, who wasn't a caretaker or anything like that?
Yeah, because these are always tricky because a lot of successful managers usually have, especially in England, when like we just talked about, they might have been there longer than most, and their first 3 or 4 years can be a little iffy, kind of like even Sir Rednose. But I'm going to go with Alf Ramsey only because that's the only one I can think of.
Alf Ramsey? Okay, I don't even see him on the list here. He must be pretty low.
Maybe he didn't manage at West Ham, and he only managed the West Ham-based England 66 squad.
Yeah, I don't see him on here.
Okay, sorry. Okay, now that's what I'm thinking of. Then I have no idea.
Okay, let me just make sure. Yeah, he's not on the list. Sorry.
Wait. Let me give a ridiculous guess anyway.
Okay.
Hankins P. Coppinsworth.
No, that's a good name. That's a good English name. But no, yeah. It's a guy by the name of Billy Bonds.
Oh, okay.
From 1990 to 1994, he won 43% of his matches, compiling a record of 99 wins, 61 draws, and 67 losses. And if you look at...
I think he was like the club's leading goal scorer at one time or something.
Well, I could look it up here, but I will tell you
the leader or something.
Ranks, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th all-time in winning percentage at 38%. So he finishes his West Ham career, 110 games in charge, 42 wins, 30 draws, 38 losses. And let me just click old Billy Bonds here. He's not Barry Bonds or Bobby Bonds' brother. He's not the third Bonds. But you're right. He played for West Ham from 1967 to 1988. Made 663 appearances and scored 48 goals.
Okay, so must have been the appearances.
Yeah, I'm sure 663 is a big number.
Especially back then when you didn't have continental tournaments to boost them.
So there you go. So Billy Bonds. All right, so let's look to the future for West Ham now. The media, everybody is tipping, and the rumors are that David Moyes is already in London holding talks with West Ham to be the new manager. Your thoughts on maybe David Moyes returning to the Premier League?
The thoughts are that Sam must really be retired.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's usually what, you know, I mean, again, this is the stereotypical thing. When in crisis, hire a manager that plays compact and, you know, fairly defensive and counter and, you know, try and muscle your way back into safety.
Okay. So Slaven Bilic is the first goodbye of our show. Now, I don't want to pump this up too much, but I was promised a Slaven Bilic joke. Did I miss it? Or have you not delivered it?
No, I have not delivered it. I don't care what Slaven Bilic's record is. He's always going to be on my short list because he was once – well, actually, he might get back in it now that he's going to be looking for work. He's actually was in a hard rock band. So, you know, he would always be on my short list of managers, or maybe just to hire him as a assistant manager or the reserve manager. And that way, like after practice, we could jam.
Well, maybe he'll go on Klopp staff then. He's in a heavy metal band.
Yeah, they definitely played that you know that old the 80s Euro, you know, the Scorpions, you know, the old Judas Priest kind of stuff. They definitely come from that avenue of heavy metal.
Okay. That is something that I did not know.
Yeah, I actually looked one of his the band he was in, which I can't recall the name at the moment, has a couple of videos on YouTube, and it's like I said, it's, you know, it's your 80s hard rock. It's kind of average, but, you know, for a football manager, it's not bad.
Oh, man. Well, there we go. All right. Thank you for that information. Everybody's going to be vigorously YouTubing Slaven Bilic Rock Band.
I'm just saying I would rather lose with Slaven Bilic than win with Jose Mourinho. Because at least Bilic is going to have a good, you know, he's going to have a good vinyl collection.
Okay, so that is our first goodbye in the books. Our second goodbye is something that I just read about earlier today. It actually happened on Sunday. We all are aware, I don't know. We're all aware of the rumors that have been happening, even in the summer, right? Between the supposed strained relationship between Roman Abramovich, a.k.a. the Russian mobster, and one Antonio Conte, manager of Chelsea Football Club. But I think where there's smoke, there's fire. The media rumors are there, but now we actually have smoke, Corey. The Chelsea technical director yesterday, a man by the name of Michael Emanalo. Have you ever heard of this guy, Michael Emanalo?
Name is vaguely familiar.
Okay, well, he resigned after 10 years at the club. And this happened, this media reports say, after these rumors really stepped up again that Conte was on the hot seat. So do you think I'm reading too much into this, or do I think, hey, this is a sign that there is problems in the backroom staff at Stamford Bridge and that Conte could be the next manager on his way out?
Yeah, because I'm wondering, because I didn't read anything on it. Are there any rumors of, you know, family issues or family illnesses or something? Because if not, it would definitely be strained. It would definitely – slow down and speak English. It would definitely be strange for a position like technical director to resign out of nowhere when they have a pretty successful youth development system, even if most of them don't actually come through Chelsea's side. So, yeah, it definitely – not knowing that much about it is definitely an odd position to just resign out of, well, what could be viewed as out of nowhere.
Especially in the middle of the season, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, and especially this time of year, yes.
Yeah, and so I know...
I mean, if it was in April or May, you could say, okay, well, maybe he's got a contract with somebody else. He wants to get out early to let the new guy in. You know, you could argue that. But yeah, sure. This time of year, it definitely makes it odd.
Correct, and I can only say... I think it was last year or the year before.
Especially
the Spurs.
Right before an international break.
Yeah, the Spurs technical director announced that he resigned, but then he stayed on through the rest of the season. Right? So this leads me to believe that there is something going on here. And according to the press release, it just says here that he said that it was a hard decision for him to make, very difficult, but it was the right decision for him, the club, and his family. That's all it says. So
yeah, which is your standard.
Yeah.
Or, you know, your standard statement that, you know, can't really be stretched either way.
Yeah. And he can't come out and say, Roman be crazy, yo.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, short of him actually being crazy, you're never going to do that because, you know, a lot of clubs would back away. You know, just on the face of something like that.
Yeah, so I think Conte really could be in trouble, which is kind of crazy to think about. But you have an interesting viewpoint on what Conte maybe should have done in his situation.
Yeah, Chelsea's the kind of club, and actually it's not just Chelsea as a club. It's Chelsea as a club with an owner like Abramovich. When you win the league title, you should probably just resign and right there, because usually, unless you win the treble or better next year, Abramovich is probably going to can you at some point anyway. You know, I mean, look at Di Matteo. He came in as a semi-caretaker, won the Champions League and a cup, you know, and a domestic cup, and still got the can.
Mourinho got the sack, right, the year after winning the league title.
Yeah, so that's – and again, maybe that's just me, but Chelsea and Real are the two clubs that if I ever – you know, if I were ever a manager there and won the title, I'd immediately resign, because pretty much there's nowhere to go from there. Or you can only fail from there pretty much.
You failed, Conte!
Or fail in Roman's eyes is what I'm saying.
No. We could say he's a failure. It's okay. It's Chelsea. We could say it. Just to piss off Jim, because we know he's listening.
Yeah.
You fail, Chelsea.
Well, I wonder if Conte's going to have trouble riding the tube now. Although we know he doesn't ride the tube. He probably drives some, you know, fancy Bugatti or something.
Yeah, some Italian sports car.
Maserati.
Yeah. But at least he's got a good hair transplant, too. So he's a winner in life for that.
Well, maybe when he gets fired, he'll get on that second career as a Eric Roberts semi-lookalike.
Or, as I've always said, this is actually good timing, because I think the new Bond film is going to start filming in early 2018. He's a perfect Bond villain.
Yes.
He looks like a Bond villain. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, just give him some kind of weird hairdo or like a scar or something.
Yeah, man. Have him carry like a, maybe not a white cat, a black cat.
That could be his character, the manager.
The manager.
Yeah, and he could be like, you know, some tactically astute supervillain.
Tactically astute. He's like, I'm going to play on the counterattack.
I already know your next six moves, Mr. Bond. That was a terrible accent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mainly because I couldn't remember how Conte actually talks.
He sounds weird. He doesn't sound how he looks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's got those – he's like one of those northern Italian. He's got the piercing blue eyes, and he's like – you know, he's not like Italians and you know, the Italian side of my family. He's like one of those northern Italians.
Who aren't really Italian, let's just face it.
Yeah, like the – kind of like the difference between Italians and like the Latins – they're a little different, you know. Gauls and the Franks, same thing. You know, they're both French, but the Gauls look different than the Franks.
So there we go. So a situation to monitor is this Chelsea business, especially after they haven't had a success, because they should win every damn game, right?
Pretty much.
And not only should they win every game, but they should win every game like 6-0.
Yeah, yeah. Well, them in City, they got anything less than 4-0 is a failure.
Yeah. So Conte out. Get it going. Hashtag.
Yeah.
So there we go. Goodbye, number two. Conte. Not yet, but it's going to happen by Christmas. So don't order that Conte Chelsea kit. I don't know why you'd buy one with his name. You can get a Conte one, but just not Conte.
And he should look forward to his Christmas crackers.
Christmas crackers?
Yeah, you know those goofy, those hand popper things that the Brits
Oh, the crackers. Okay, I thought you were talking like crackers, like cheese and crackers.
No, that's what the Brits call them, Christmas crackers.
No, you're right. They do call them that.
And apparently they're like, it's a big thing. It's like egg knocking with the Cajuns at Easter. Most people don't know about the egg knocking.
I don't know about the egg knocking. Please enlighten us.
It's called paque, but it basically means knock.
Paque? And
you knock two eggs together, and the first one to crack loses.
Oh.
It's just a little game the kids play at Easter. It's egg knocking or paque. There you go. Culture all over the place tonight.
Culture, yeah. Cajun culture, too.
Well, there you go. When you got a poor culture, you end up playing games like paque. You don't have, VR like all the kids now.
Which is like a step above, right? You got like Neanderthal culture, and then you got Cajun culture. It's a step above.
Yeah, well, obviously we got much better food, though.
than like mammoth jerky.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, the Neanderthal they didn't have sauce. That's where the Cajuns came in. We were like, bye, man. And you know what? Get this really on its feet. Some sauce, bro.
Yeah, some mammoth boudin balls.
Oh man, could you imagine the size of them? The boudin balls are the mammoth boudin balls, man. They're bigger than my head. Oh, it's like 40 pounds.
Oh man. All right, last topic of the show. This week. I don't know. We might come back. As we said, we're just trying to hit on the current events. And another current event today, Corey.
If we're going to talk about food, I could talk an hour just on food.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I should know better to not bring up boudin balls on the show.
Yeah, don't get the Cajun going about food, man.
Sorry, my bad. All right. Third goodbye for today. And it was announced after, I don't even know, I guess Man City, New York campus. AKA Money Grab FC, they must have been in the MLS playoffs and they must have been eliminated because one Pirlo today announced his retirement, Corey, from football. Your thoughts?
Well, like I told you when you told me yesterday, you sure he retired? I thought he retired 3 years ago. Ba-doom, where's the rim shot? We don't have a board because Google took it away.
Yeah, we don't have a board anymore.
Yeah, sad trombone.
But looking here, his illustrious career, playing for, 6 different professional clubs, 753 appearances, 73 goals, 86 assists, and the maestro, the bearded maestro, who played most notably for AC Milan, 400 appearances. Juventus, I guess, is where most people know him these days, right? Where he was even more productive, had about the same amount of numbers with Juventus as he did at Milan, but in half the games. So, again, just kind of where he kind of rates as a player. And if, is he a guy 10 years from now, 20 years from now, people will be talking about?
Maybe not, but they should be.
Okay, that is a good answer.
Because Pirlo is definitely one of those that, again, he's a perfect example of soccer, or what sets football and soccer apart from a lot of the other sports. Not really the best athlete, never going to run past anybody, but the skills he did have were pretty freaking max, and his intelligence overrode most of the deficiencies he did have, and he basically reinvented the playmaking spot in Italy. I mean, at the time when he started playing as a deep line midfielder, the only people that had deep line playmakers, the only people that use deep line playmaker were the Latin Americans, and even those were kind of phasing out because everybody was going towards the what's that position that Raquel May played? I can't think of the word, but it means hook.
The hook.
It's like enganche or something. Anyway.
Oh, the enganche.
Yeah, so it's a yeah, so the playmaker that's forward, but they don't really make runs. But anyway.
Gotcha, yes.
But yeah, so before Pirlo, the only deep line playmakers were really the Latin American game. So he was the one who kind of changed that in Serie A, and people started using more deep line playmakers. Because up until then, everybody was kind of using that, you know, that Kaká or that Trey Cortista in the hole kind of playmaker.
Yes, and I should also mention, of course, that he had 116 caps for Italy, which is nothing to sneeze at, obviously. When you get over 100 caps for a country like Italy, wow.
Yeah, because obviously there's many more friendlies these days. But, yeah, anytime you get over 60 and 70, even today, that's a sign that everybody thinks you're pretty, you know, that you're pretty hot stuff.
So now the bearded maestro will have 100% of his time to be at his vineyard. It's going to be great.
Yes, so maybe somebody needs to get on the memes again with, you know, him stroking his beard and savoring his newfound wine making expertise.
That's right, but you never know. Now that he's been in America and he's retired, he may pull like a Klinsmann, right? And go play like what Klinsmann played for, what is that, like Blue Star?
Yeah.
Hollywood or whatever. Well, maybe he'll go down to Florida and play for a very, not a very well-known club, but Boca Vista FC.
Yeah, Del Boca Vista. They can't keep us out. Or, yeah, maybe we can get him down here for the Jesters. We got good Italian. Well, of course, it's Southern Italian, and you know sometimes there's that North Italian, Southern Italian friction. So, but just saying, we got good Italian food in New Orleans too, Conte or Pirlo even.
Pirlo,
both
yeah.
of y'all, both of y'all come down. Yeah,
because yeah, Pirlo's retiring. Conte is going to get sacked soon. They could come to New Orleans. Corey will take you out for a nice dinner at that midtown, that Italian restaurant that we'd go to.
Yeah, that one's in Mid-City.
Mid-City. Okay, I knew it was something.
Yeah.
Some Mid-City New Orleans Italian food. All right, so that is the third goodbye for today.
Arrivederci! That's one I forgot earlier.
There we go. So Bilic, gone. Conte, his days are done. He's gone before the end of the season, we can guarantee it. He'll be gone by the new year, I'm sure. And then Pirlo, stepping away from Money Grab FC.
Yeah, because what was my other joke with Conte a couple weeks ago? Is like, Abramovich is probably going to have to show a loss at some point so he can avoid, you know, the FFP taxes and penalties and stuff. Even though they don't even force that stuff anyway, so he's probably going to get rid of Conte just so he has to pay him out and you know, show a loss.
Yeah, and then he'll have to appoint himself manager, which will be great.
Yeah, well, if he's not busy hacking elections.
Yeah, because he'll just sit there with a pistol on the sideline, and he won't make subs. He'll just shoot you, and you'll know that you're off when you get, you know, a bullet grazes your leg.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a Mother Russia joke. The in Mother Russia, she gets stuck in you or something. I don't know.
Mother Russia doesn't get stuck in.
Yeah,
she gets stuck in you. I don't know. Yeah, which is a great Twitter account. I think it's something like Only in Russia. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. You should all follow it.
Or I remember it since I'm not on the Twitters anymore.
No, you're not on the Twitters. Yeah, that's right. You are a social outcast.
Yeah.
Not on the Twitters.
So, self-banned.
All right, boys and girls. So there we go. We might be back later this week. We'll see if something crazy happens. Like, you know, Roman might wake up tomorrow and sack Conte. Possibly.
Yeah, or Galati kidnaps one of the other USSF presidential candidates for ransom or something.
Yeah, like all 200 of them that are running.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you're
now you got to vote for me because nobody else is running. Where'd they all go?
If your name's not in the hat for the USSF presidency, well then you're nobody.
Yeah, let's throw ours in. Why not?
Yeah, that's right. A joint. TDY.
Yeah, just fax it in. Worst they can do is just trash it.
Yeah. Oh, they would.
Yeah. I can has running for president. You know, write it all scrawled like a ransom note, maybe. Ooh, weird people out.
Yes. All right, boys and girls. So this has been another episode of the Two Daft Yanks podcast. Stay tuned to the news because if something big breaks, we'll be back later this week. So until then, for Corey Chatelaine, I'm Chad Smith saying goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at twodaftyanks.com or at @twodaftyanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.